action.
That's correspondent Aisha Fuchs. A man ejected from a Philadelphia Eagles playoff game because he was intoxicated and who punched a police horse in the face has been charged with assault. Police say 22-year-old Taylor Hendricks was turned away from Saturday's game between the Eagles and Falcons, then approached a mounted police officer and started wailing on the horse named Nikki, hitting it in the face, neck, and shoulder. He was charged with aggravated assault, trespassing, and taunting a police animal. More from town.
Good morning and welcome to Generations Talk Radio. I am Sharon Clark, your host and owner of Home Helpers. We are here live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. right here on KCNR1460.com. You can join us in the chat room, KCNR1460.com, or give us a call and ask any questions or make some comments at 605-4567. I also set up an amazing Facebook page for those of you that want to follow on Facebook. I will announce my guests and my topics each week so you can kind of prep yourself to listen in. And you can just search for Generations Talk Radio on Facebook and find us there. I'm also about to put together, I'm adding a page to my website where we will have all the archived shows and topics and guests. So if you have a show that you listen to and you think it would be useful for a friend or family member, very soon, by the next show, I will have that to roll out. And my web developer is putting together a YouTube channel. So there'll be all kinds of ways to access the content because I'm sure many of you are listening going, oh my gosh, my friend so-and-so needs to hear this, or I wish my parent was listening as we were listening to together so I could, you know, start a conversation with them. So we really want to make all of this content available for you if you need it at a later date. So my topic today is going to be how to start a conversation with your aging parents. In my 14 years of experience in owning a home care agency, a lot of crisis mode decision making is made with families. And I'm speaking to someone has a stroke, they're alive and going to be making a recovery to some extent, but the kids are in my office, not only emotional and upset about the fact that mom had a stroke, but the fact that they now know they don't know what to do. There's never been a conversation. They don't know her wishes. They don't know how to get access to finances to help her in her recovery. They're completely lost. And oftentimes, this not only is a huge burden on the adult child, but the sibling relationships also suffer during this time because if there's not a clear communication and there's not clear instructions from the parents to the children, the kids oftentimes, that emotion, they turn on each other. And many, many times, I am definitely feeling like I'm earning a social work degree, though I am not a social worker. But I always say, if you want to know the true issues in a family, wait till someone gets old and sick. Because the kids, there's always some strife there. Every family has it. The one kid who didn't think they got treated fairly, that the one kid got a car, one kid was dad's favorite, whatever those emotions are, it kind of all starts percolating up. And so this is what we all hear about, those kids that kind of went after the money, when many times the money is not the issue. It's some type of emotional strain that's causing people to lash out. And so that's just another dynamic of not communicating with your children. Or if you're the child, it's another dynamic that we want to bring to your parents' attention, because no parent wants to leave this earth or to be incapacitated for a while and have their family fracturing on top of whatever medical issue they're facing. So we're going to kind of get into a lot of discussion on how to start that conversation. It is a topic that comes up a lot in my work when the kids are trying to get mom to get some home care. That's sometimes the first step, maybe just some light housekeeping or something like that. And they're really challenged with, how do I bring it up? You know, many times we feel like we're 12 years old in the living room, and those dynamics of being the adult child and trying to start a dialogue about mom and dad needing more help are hugely challenging. And we don't want to go down the wrong path. We don't want to say the wrong thing. And so I get that asked a lot. And a lot of you that have dealt with this, if you want to call in today and educate us on how you approached it, what your successes were, if you tried to bring up things with your parents, how did you get them to communicate with you about, you know, their long-term wishes, finances, medical powers of attorney, healthcare directives, what they wanted to do in retirement, whether it be staying in their home, assisted living. Many of you have probably already dealt with some of these discussions. So if you want to share maybe what went well and what didn't go well for the rest of us that are listening, that would be great, because I know some of you have had your challenges. Bob, you have some experience on this
as
well.
Yes, I have. I don't want to go into it. Recently, we had Douglas Wright on. He's a estate attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells horror stories about families who suddenly discover that a relative's and this happened to me when my father passed. His will was out of date. Is essentially invalidated because of a divorce, and that so that person was no longer his wife, and so essentially he died intestate, and the state of Oregon got quite the windfall.
Probate went through all the probate,
yeah.
And that is definitely, you know, something that we're going to chat about today. It's not just the wishes; it's the financial side, and many times that can impact, you know, the spouse that's left behind, if they have medical needs or financial needs, and there's not a will or a trust in place, it can jeopardize so many things. And all the way leading down to a lot of times what I do with my business home helpers, you know, if the kids might know who we are, they trust us, they want us in the home, but if things aren't in place for them to make those decisions, it really doesn't matter if you know who Sharon Clark is and you've heard of home helpers. There's a lot of steps that happen between now and that time, and, you know, this is not a discussion that happens around the water cooler. A lot of times, adult children feel very isolated. You know, you don't really want to go to your peers at work and talk about, you know, dad's wandering more, my mom's become the main caregiver. You know, last night we found him outside. He'd fallen in the brush and he was scraped up. And, you know, we're still kind of coming to terms with a lot of the people that are aging and what we call the silver tsunami, and opening up this dialogue and getting this conversation going. And so, you know, I asked my counterpart that hosts with me a lot here on KCNR, Trish Clark, to join me after this next break. And she is about the equivalent of what would be, you know, a parental age to someone my age. Her son is close to my age. She's a strong, independent, feisty gal. Many of you have heard her on the radio. So we can imagine having that conversation with her.
You have a talent for understatement.
Yeah. Having that conversation with her would be definitely, she's a good example of trying to approach somebody. And so we're going to chat with her about her son and what conversations they have had, how she would like to be approached, maybe what wouldn't work for her, what would work for her. She's also very active at the senior center in Anderson, so she can speak to the people that she spends her time with and kind of, you know, overall that age group, what they're looking for from us. And as I mentioned, if any of you have had this conversation or are getting ready to, we welcome your comments and thoughts too, because we definitely want to be of use today here on the show. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, Trish will be with me, and our topic is how to start the conversation with your aging loved one. We'll be right back here on KCNR 1460.
Child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The new year is upon us, and it provides us all opportunities for a new beginning. Whether you are a Christian who, for whatever reason, is not currently attending a church, and yet know that there is something missing in your life, or someone who is not a follower of Jesus Christ, yet want to know more about God and why Christians are willing to live and die for their faith, there is a valid and eternal reason, and it's worth the effort to discover. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at trueliferedding.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Back to KCNR Radio. This is Sharon Clark, your host of Generations Talk Radio. We are here on KCNR 1460, and you can follow us in the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. We are here every Wednesday. This is our third show, and the topics we're going to be covering on this radio show are all related to aging, healthy aging, and wellness. And again, my experience owning a home care agency for 14 years here in Shasta County, I know a lot of what needs to happen, what doesn't need to happen, what should have happened, what shouldn't have happened. And I want to bring all of that information to all of you listening so that any pitfalls can be avoided, any successes can be had. And that said, my greatest success is my friendship with Trish Clark. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Sharon. Thank you for inviting me.
And Trish and I were just talking, because generally we're on Thursdays once a month at 7 in the morning, and Trish said, wow, this is a much better time for a radio show.
Yeah, I can really get into this. I mean, I feel all together and ready to do a show at 9.
You've got your fur vest on and everything.
I know. I'm set for the day.
So Trish, one of the things that the reason I invited you on today is because, and we've talked a little bit about this in the past when we've hosted before, but having these difficult conversations with your children about getting older, it's a huge challenge for some families. I know you just have the one son.
Right.
And you're a widow.
Right.
So he's got a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Coming down the pike.
He really does. Most of which he centers at this point about, shouldn't I really take care of all that stuff in the garage?
Yeah, he doesn't want to be dealing with that.
Yeah, and I go, you know, Rick, here's the deal. You're an only child. It's all yours.
There you go. You can go through it when the time comes.
Yeah, he doesn't like that.
So I know that you've been pretty open about things with him. When did you guys kind of start talking? What prompted you guys to start talking about aging and what you have in place? What was your precipice for that?
Well probably we need to probably go back. I'm probably a little different in that than most people, because in one of my previous lives, I was a paralegal who did the probate for an entire law firm in the Bay Area. So I'm kind of aware of all those issues that have to happen in families when someone passes away, and the things that need to be done in advance, like putting together trusts and making sure together that you have a will and that everything's registered properly. So I'm probably a little more anal about most of that stuff than a lot of people would be. But having said that, I haven't done that for many, many years, and I think probably most of the discussions after my husband passed away. I felt like Rick really then needed to know what we had in place and how he would access all those things.
Right. And was and how did that was he receptive? Was that uncomfortable for him?
Not really. Good. Not really. Yeah. But Rick and I have a really close relationship, and we kind of talked about things when we put the trust together, when Bob and I did that, so that everything would kind of flow easily. I have two stepchildren involved in the equation who have been pretty much alienated. So certain things had to be done and things put in a proper order so that the succession would happen as it
right.
should.
And I have spoken to many people who, when that trust and those legal documents related to that trust are done right, it's so simple. You know, things really flow. However, that's not always what I hear because people have moved to California. Sometimes our laws are different. Things need to get updated. Someone passes away and the trust isn't handled right. So that's a whole probably other dialogue to have. And I hope to have an estate planning attorney on at some point to chat more about that in specifics. That is a huge part of the equation.
Absolutely, because people will take the time at a certain point in their life to put a trust together and then wrap it up with a great big bow and put it someplace and forget all about it and then go on with their life. Purchase, change houses, buy another car, and forget all about the proper procedure to include all of that into that trust that
right.
they spent money on.
Well,
it's kind of something you have to keep up a little
bit.
Yeah,
it's alive.
Exactly.
Right.
It's a living trust.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you need to be sure that as babies are born and people pass away and property changes hands, that you're changing those things.
Yes,
updating
I spoke to an estate planning attorney once who said, you know, you should really look at that. Pay for a consultation once a year with your attorney because maybe the son you put in charge of something now has cancer. And maybe that wouldn't be a good job for him anymore. Maybe the son you put in charge is now getting a divorce and that's fracturing his own family. And, you know, and so who you put in place may or may not be always the right factor.
Yes.
You know, and maybe that son passes away unexpectedly. The last thing you think about is looking at your living trust.
Right.
So it brings to light and maybe some laws change, et cetera. Maybe someone has dementia diagnosis now, so they really can't be your medical power of attorney anymore. There's just a lot of things that can happen.
Absolutely. It is a living document. It needs to be looked at and updated periodically.
Mm-hmm. My guest last week, Naomi Yamamoto, so this is an interesting thing that she brought to light that I did not know. So she is her dad's power of attorney for medical. She is the executor of the estate. However, he had a heart attack, was on life support in ICU, intubated. He ended up making a recovery. But during that period, she couldn't get any access to bank accounts because he was still here and he had not been declared anything. If she'd been on his bank accounts, she could have.
But if she has the power of attorney, she needs not only the medical power of attorney,
she
had
it,
the other
but
power
they would
of
not
attorney.
Enforce it because he still could recover. He was not declared incompetent. He was not declared anything. He was in this limbo of he could still recover, and he was. So
But at that point, he was incapacitated, and that's how it should read.
Yeah, so she would have had to go to court and.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that attorney told her, make sure you're on the bank accounts. She ended up paying his bills out of her own money during that six-week period.
But, that's an interesting conversation I'm going to follow up on because there's also some inherent difficulties about having that person's name on your bank accounts.
They have creditor,
They have credit issues. They go through a divorce. They go through a bankruptcy. They go through what you did. Now, does that bank account that their name's on become part of that property that's subject to that?
Yep. So that's pretty scary.
So
it's interesting. So I'll write this down for our estate planning attorney conversation. Because
I think that, yeah.
Because, and later in the show, I'm going to give Trish a little test. And those of you that are listening, if you want me to email you a copy of this little quiz, we're going to give Trish a little test on the conversation she's had with her son and how much he knows and doesn't know. So she can see if there's any holes in her situation. So now, Trish, you being as independent as you are, let's say your son let's say nothing had prompted this yet.
Right.
Let's say everything was fine. What do you think, like being of sound mind, being as active as you are, what would be the best approach for someone like you? Should he sit down? Would he say, hey, Mom, I've been thinking. I want you to be as independent as you can. I feel like I don't have all the tools to provide that if something were to happen, and I would love to start a dialogue so that I know what you would like. What do you think, what approach would work for you?
Well, and I think what you've just said, I think that it's for him to, that and to come to somebody that is really independent and say, I need to know how to take care of you is a difficult. I don't need any taken care of.
That's right.
Yeah, so and that would be the attitude. Yeah, what you've said. I think, and if I think that's a conversation that should be had earlier rather than later. It's a lot easier to start it when the person is 50, 60 years old than it is when you get 70 or 80, because now you're starting to feel vulnerable and probably a little more sensitive about the fact that you know you're aging.
Mm-hmm.
At 60, it could be a really easy conversation and just say, well, this is what's set up and blah, 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 but that isn't going to happen for years, so don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
At 70, you're going to be a little more protective, I think, so maybe not wait that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have encouraged a lot of the adult children to utilize, like hearing this show. So I heard this show, this gal was talking about people that were aging, and it got me thinking that I really don't know, and I would hate to be put in that position where I was second-guessing what you want, Mom. That would just be horrible for me. And I think if the kid comes from, like, that would be traumatizing for me to not know and to be thinking that, and I think none of us want to burden our children. So sometimes the adult child coming at it from, wow, I would be lost not knowing, Mom, can you help me with this, comes from a better place than, you know, you're going to need it and I need to know what you want. You know, and sometimes it's all in the approach. It really is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I think you're right. Using a funnel, the thing, you know, I heard something, a conversation the other day, or I heard a show. That's always a good approach, that I didn't just go out and decide all of a sudden that you're weak and frail
right.
and you're going
to
die.
You fell last week and I need to know now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a good approach, I think.
Yeah.
And I would encourage not only the children, but the parents, too, to kind of think about that. Start the conversation sooner rather than later.
Yeah, because I think the people, the aging, they call them the traditional old, the people that are in their 80s and 90s right now. That's a very private generation. You know, finances were private, medical. I mean, when we have some clients, you know, we're there. We are watching. We're the eyes and ears of the family. We're doing caregiving. They don't even want us to know their medical issues. And we kind of need to know, because if we see something flaring up, if you have nitroglycerin in case you have a heart attack, we need to know that that's here in your pocket.
Yeah.
So we can encourage you to take it. If you have chest pain, you know, they're apprehensive to even share that kind of thing, and it's a tough generation to get through.
Well, you know, my husband was 16 years older than I was, mm-hmm. and when I first brought up this topic of a will, and that was at the point when Rick was born. I mean, so we're going back many, many years. And because we did have the two stepchildren, we had one, that were 16 and 15 at that time, and then we had Rick, and it seemed appropriate to me because we didn't have much to worry about, but we did have a small baby who really was going to need to be taken care of should something happen to the two of us. You'd have thought when I said that I was going to hold him underwater in the swimming pool and drown him.
He was not receptive.
not a bit. And it didn't get much better as the years went on. It was always a very delicate subject to bring up, and you're right. So I think probably my attitudes are a little different because of the way I was raised and what have you, but the generation, generally speaking, is very protective of their information. They don't want to share even their Social Security number. I mean, they get really irate about that Social Security number.
Yeah.
I know I recently had a conversation with someone, and I think I really deflated their ego. I said, oh, my God, I can go online and get your Social Security number in about 10 seconds.
You're not that protected anymore.
Get over it. It's just the information is out there. And I think they have a real hard time getting their arms around that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll call that kid in Russia who's got it sitting on his computer. You know?
Exactly.
That's right. Well, you know, and I think that, you know, a lot of times it comes from a protection, too, that wanting to be private. But what I try to convey to that 85 or 90-year-old is it will be your adult child's problem. It will be, you may not want to tell them because you want to protect them, but when you're in the ER and you're not, you know, you've had a fall and you got hit on the head and you're, you know, they're treating you, that adult child is going to get the call. So it will be their problem, you know, and so you're not really protecting them. You're not really arming them with the information that they need to provide the care for you. And so it kind of backfires.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so.
And we, none of us are prepared for these things when they happen. We always think, well, we'll know when the time comes. It can happen in a nanosecond, life changed completely.
Oh, and I have families
totally,
all the time.
And you're totally unprepared, even though you think you've got it all handled. Life changes rather rapidly.
Yep. I have a family right now who, you know, Mom was Dad's caregiver. Dad has just a little bit of dementia, had a stroke. Now mom can't really care for dad, and whoa, we've got 12-hour shifts of caregiving going on. Kids have been spending the night, you know. So they were going along just fine. Mom had no medical issues at all. They were doing just fine. So it's totally true that it can change quickly, and that's why we start this dialogue early, so that we can have decisions happening not in crisis mode. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to put Trish on blast, and we're going to do a little quiz and see how prepared she is and how prepared her son is to help her. Okay. We'll be right back with more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
There's a reason for the warm, sweet nights. And there's a reason for the candle lights. Must be the season when those love rides.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, January 19th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
Chocolate After Dark is coming to Turtle Bay Exploration Park Friday, February 2nd from
7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy an evening of unique chocolate delicacies, distinctive wine and beverage tastings, and an exclusive preview of our newest exhibition, Design Zone. Buy your tickets online or at the Turtle Bay Museum Store and Coffee Bar. This is a 21 and over event only. All funds raised support the educational programs and exhibitions at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark. You can follow us in the chat room at kcnr1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. Our topic today is starting the conversation with your aging loved one. And there is what they call the 40-70 rule. When you turn 40 or your parent turns 70, you need to have had the conversation. As Trish alluded to in the last segment, starting before there's a medical issue is oftentimes better. She is more receptive to having those conversations. A lot of aging people are. If they've just had a fall or they've just come through some type of medical issue, or maybe they got, you know, had a financial breach and made a mistake or something, crisis happened, and then you bring up, well, now it's time to start talking about, you know, what happens when you get older, you're probably going to meet more resistance than if you had it when the conversation when they were a little bit more youthful.
I agree.
Yeah. So part of this dialogue is understanding what your parents want and having conversations with them about it. And so I'm going to give Trish a little quiz. If any of you want a copy of this, I'd be happy to send it out to you. You can email me. My email is generationstalkradio@gmail.com. And I would be happy to send it to you if you want to utilize it with your parents. So, Trish, I'm going to kind of ask these to you as if does your son know this stuff?
Okay.
Because if you know it, it doesn't really matter. He needs to know it.
Right.
Right? Does he know who's on your team, meaning your financial and legal people, your attorneys, accountants? Does he know, kind of like, if something happened to you, who those people are?
I don't think he probably knows their name, but he knows where the file is. That's in the safe,
okay,
that has all of that listed.
Okay, so you have all that there for
him. Yes, I do.
If something happens.
And I've a couple of times told him exactly where it is and how to get into the safe and all of that.
Right. And that's important for those of you listening. If a lot of times the financial thing happens quick, if your parent has a stroke or a fall and they end up in the hospital, going to a rehab facility for 30, 60 days, bills have to be paid. You know, you want to make sure their power doesn't get turned off. You want to make sure that things are handled. So knowing who their estate planning attorney is so that you have access to funds, knowing who their financial advisor is, if you need to have money transferred or stock sold so that you can afford and have that flush of cash to get them to the rehab facility or whatever they need, super important. And this one I know you're going to say yes to. You have a will.
I do. I have a living trust.
You have a living trust. And you have advanced directive as a powers of attorney.
Yes.
And he knows.
Yes.
The other thing is, be sure the people that you've put in those roles know they're in those roles. I've had a few occasions where parents have picked a kid to be the executor or power of attorney and didn't tell any of the other siblings. So maybe the kid that got chosen knew, but no one else knew.
Oh, yeah.
So that kid is in a role to have to be, you know, letting all the siblings know, well, mom and dad picked me. So that's really putting your kid, can fracture those relationships with the siblings. So if you've picked Susie Q to be your power of attorney, let the other kids know, we chose Susie. Here's why. She doesn't have children. She has a background in the financial world. We thought she would be great at handling this part. We would like you to be our alternate. We would like you to be our medical. By the way, not always is the person with the most financial knowledge the best one to be in charge of your money. I say it because there's a balance there. That person sometimes is cutting every flipping corner. I've seen it happen in families to your detriment. You know, they want the cheapest, better, best value they can get, but they're not really thinking long term about moving somebody twice. They're not thinking about, you know, maybe someone has 6 months to live. You know, yes, home care is expensive, but they've got 6 months. The money's there. Should we put them through the trauma of moving them to save a few thousand dollars a month? You know, so sometimes that person is so into the finances that they're not balancing out the emotional side.
This is where you get Sharon into really tight stuff, because sometimes, and I've dealt with this on many occasions, the person in charge of your financial taking care of you with your money may not even be a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to be real sure that your children, and this sounds harsh, but I've seen it so many times, are interested in taking care of you and making sure your life is good. More interested in that than they are in how much money's left after you're gone.
Right.
And so you really need to think that through, and it's a hard thing to think about. But I've been in situations many times where I've had arguments with children of people who I've been trying to do home improvement things to their home, give them one of these no-interest loans,
mm-hmm.
where you can do, you know, fix dry rot in the bathrooms and make a home better for the seniors that live there, mm-hmm. and have the kids say, you're not putting that on that house. We're going to have to pay that off when we sell that house. I go, yeah, but your mother's living with dry rot in the bathroom. I don't care. You're not putting that loan on our house.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of mixed, you know.
Right. It's true. And I just said to a client the other day, I said, you know, I think we're going to see more professional conservators and that kind of thing, because not everyone has children, number one.
Yeah.
And not everyone has good children.
But exactly. And if you have an issue where you have three or four children who are going to fight over who's going to be in charge and how it's going to go, which happens a lot, then you probably need to get some outside help. You can talk to your attorney about people looking. Your attorney can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have anybody you want in that role and designate to take care of you and then the estate. And sometimes that's a preferable way to go.
Right. And you can also really spell out in your documents that you want to be at home if you can.
Yes.
That you have long-term care to pay for, you know, so you can really spell it out so that the child or the person in charge is following a roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
They're not making a lot of subjective choices, because this is where we get into trouble.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have that, and he knows.
Yes.
You have your living trust, and your beneficiaries are up to date.
Yes.
We've talked about that, how to make sure that all of that is. And oftentimes California laws change, and so having a good estate planning attorney that's going to call you in and go, hey, we've had a change. We need to update a document here and there. That's great. What accounts do you have and where?
Yeah, they're all listed in
that's in the file, so
right.
He knows where to find it. What insurances you have and where are the policies?
Right.
He knows that. Where's your financial paperwork? Where are your tax files? He's got all of that. You're pretty good.
Yeah.
When and where would you consider moving?
Not. Not enough.
So here's what's interesting for me with you. It's like you've got the financial, you've got all that done, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is like it's handled. This is the part, driving, moving, you know, these are the part that really impact our independence, right?
Absolutely.
And our quality of life. So have you said to him, like, you know, you're taking me out of the house on a gurney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I have provided for home health care. And I have a policy for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of said that at such a point that I can't be provided for in my home, I'm probably so far gone it doesn't really make a difference
right.
at that point.
So as long as you know where you are, you want to be at home.
If it came to the
point where it was like the quality of life wasn't there anymore and...
Then it probably doesn't matter.
Right. And he knows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you can leave my card in there and I'll make sure.
It's right at the front of the thing. It's right at the front of the thing.
Call her. She knows me.
This is the home health care is attached to the policy.
Good. Yeah. And you know, Trish, I'm not sure how you'll be as a client. I don't know.
Tough, Sarah,
oh, I don't even know. That's kind of scary. My daughter already says, oh my gosh, mom, you know, and I have a long-term care insurance policy too. In fact, I just ran into my State Farm agent recently, and they're not even selling long-term care insurance anymore.
Well, I don't have long-term care. Actually, I messed around with that too late mm-hmm. in life to where the whole long-term care thing got really, really expensive.
Yeah.
So I opted just for the home health care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think unless something really dramatic happens in my life, with the established monthly income that I have and that policy, there's absolutely no reason I couldn't have 24-hour service in my home.
Right.
Good. You know,
I just wonder how many caregivers you're going to fire before we get it right.
Well, that could be an issue, couldn't it? Yeah, you tried to say I'm a bit set in my
ways. I know. You're not the first one. I've conquered this before.
Yeah.
So he knows you want to be in your home.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what he knows. And so, but sometimes there are conversations to have. Like, he happens to be in California.
Yes.
He happens to be within a few hours of you. So he could come up for medical appointments and he could oversee things. For those of you that are listening and you or your children are not in the same geographical area, it's nice to have the conversation of, would you be willing to move to an in-law quarters and live, you know, independently, maybe on with your kids on their property?
Okay, well, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. But, you know, the challenge I've seen with is, like, I've had kids that are up in, you know, let's say Seattle.
Yes.
And mom is here, dad has passed away, she's in her late 80s, having a lot of medical issues, and she won't leave because her doctors are here.
Yeah.
And here this poor daughter or son is schlepping down to Reading every 6 weeks, leaving their family, leaving their spouse, financially burdened, and mom just won't leave her doctors. And it's kind of like, you know, it makes so much sense before the medical crisis to kind of think about, you know, am I putting myself in the best situation for success?
Yeah.
Am I putting myself, if you live in Shingletown or Weed or Burney or some of those areas, you're not setting yourself up for success. You've got snow. You've got no public transportation. There's no Meals on Wheels. There's no caregiving agencies that serve those areas. It's really tough to keep your independence.
And I absolutely concur that you think that through and be in your mind when you're ready and where you want to go. Not that you have to leave it while you're still able to do it, but you should have made the plans to get out of those places where you can't be cared for.
And we're going to finish our quiz with Trish when we come back right after this here on Generations Talk Radio. We'll see you right back.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipe sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey, 2018 is here and change is in the air. Well, here are four R's for your New Year's transformation. Repaint, refurbish, repurpose, and redecorate. And where can you find the inspiration? Welcome Home Furnishings, located at 20 Hilltop Drive, next to Care Animal Hospital. Consign, design, buy. at Welcome Home Furnishings. That's 20 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Open 7 days a week.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We are here at Generations Talk Radio with my guest, Trish Clark, just finishing up our conversation on how to start the conversation with your aging parents and what kinds of things to cover. And, Trish, I have a couple final questions.
Okay.
You're doing pretty well so far.
Okay.
How do you envision your memorial service? Have you had that conversation?
No. No, we have not had that conversation.
And that might be one because, you know, that's even if you say to him, I really don't care what you do what makes you feel good. I'm totally fine because I won't be here and I don't care. That might even be good if you don't care.
Yeah.
You know, because he's going to be like, oh, gosh, what a mom of. I've seen families fight over the music, the psalm.
Absolutely.
That's read. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
It's you know, mom would have. I actually had a family that was fighting over. Mom hated when they did the after-service luncheon at the church.
Yeah.
And the food and that potato salad. And by God, we're not bringing in that potato salad that they make, that those volunteers make. Mom hated that. We're getting it. We're ordering it out. Like, one daughter was disgusted by the fact that they would actually utilize the food in the church. Because mom would complain about when she went to other people's services and the food.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, and the kids were fighting over that.
Yeah.
In
the great scheme of things, it probably doesn't matter, but it probably wouldn't hurt to just write all that down.
Right.
If you do have music.
Right.
If
you want an open casket or you don't, if you want to be cremated, have you made your final arrangements?
No.
Yeah. Like going to Allen and Dahl or whatever and you know, because, I mean, again, this family, mom died very suddenly, and there was arguments about what kind of casket. Like, should it be oak? Should it be cherry? Literally, this was the... And the kids were grieving this sudden passing. It wasn't really about the casket. But when these decisions come up, it becomes about that.
Yes.
Right? And so...
Do you know, I remember when Bob passed away, because that was a... We didn't have that discussion before, because he wouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a... So I guess I probably shouldn't do that same thing to Rick.
So Trish, here's what we'll do. Okay. We'll go to lunch. We'll go. I'll go with you to Allen and Dahl.
Plan your death.
And we will have a glass of wine after. And we'll have it all planned. I mean, you know, you can say here's where I want to be.
I think it's pretty easy. I think I can write it down.
Yeah.
Here's where
I want. Here's what I want. Yeah. Because like I said to my daughter, like I don't want an open casket.
Oh,
that's the thing
not.
I want. My mom had an open casket, and it traumatized me. I don't want people to remember me that way. And so, like, I've had a few conversations with her, and even for people that have a kid who's 18, I've had conversations with her about, you know, her end-of-life plans. As sad as it is, I want to be able to make those decisions for her. And there's documents she can fill out so that I can. And so it's a crazy time. But anyway, so you might want to...
Yeah.
Down. I know it's morbid, but you don't want him second guessing it.
Right.
Right. Are you an organ donor?
No.
And does he know that?
Don't know that we've talked about that,
right.
But I'm not.
Yeah. So why aren't you? Do you want to take it with you?
No. Actually, I think I want to be cremated, number one. But you can have the organs donated and then still be cremated.
Right.
Yeah.
Things like corneas and stuff like that can really make a difference in some person's life.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they can take a lot from us now. Yeah. So those are all good questions. So, see, we come up... We last time I talked to you, there was a couple. I think you've covered more, but now we know. Do you have a safe deposit box?
No.
Okay. So if you have a safe deposit box, that's another great one to talk to your kids about so that they know where your documents are. But all in all, Trish, I'll give you a solid B+.
Okay. I take care of my the really final stuff. I'm in good shape.
That's right. And I do think that end of life stuff is, you know, memorial service stuff is really tough. Discussions to have, but again, while you're doing well, you know, you can say.
I really don't like the whole funeral process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little better with maybe celebrations of life that mm-hmm. I've been to recently. I think people have finally started. I think it's absolutely barbaric to get together for the meal and all of that. I don't like that whole process mm-hmm. I'm really not a big funeral person. So
well, and I went to one where they didn't even have the casket. They just had a beautiful picture. Like, we know the person passed away. We don't need the casket in the room.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah.
I mean, I love the idea of, yeah, he could do something outside with your picture and all the people that you've impacted through the years with your, you know, political affiliations and all the movement. I mean, it's going to be standing room only for you, Trish.
Yeah, I don't know.
People you've ticked off.
Yeah, people you've ticked off.
Yeah. Mixed crowd.
That's right. Well, I mean, I this has been a great conversation because I hope that those of you listening, it encourages you to start having the conversation because you don't want to be in a position with your aging loved one that you're second guessing it. You know, it's not fun. And, you know, all humor aside, I've seen the people in my office who have clear instructions and they're upset their parent had a fall. They're upset their parent had a stroke. Of course, that's sad and heart wrenching, but they know what to do. And they're in survival mode, and they've talked to the attorney, and they've got the estate plan, and they're putting things in place. The other kids know about what mom wanted, so they're just following the orders, and everything is smooth. Mom gets to rehab, gets recovering. You know, we're called. They know where the long-term care policy is. They meet with me while mom's still in rehab. We line up a smooth discharge home, bring in some services, continue to provide care for her till she's back on her feet. All the kids get along, and, you know, and again, eventually, I hope we're fired and mom is doing amazing. That's my end of goal.
Well, and that's how it should be. And it can be very easily done if you just write down what you want, let your kids know that.
Right. Because a lot of people have it written down or have it done, but they just haven't communicated it.
Right.
And that's useless to not communicate it. And again, if you don't have children, you can hire a professional trustee to oversee things. Or if the kids that you have are going through a tough time and you're second guessing the fact that they can follow through with what you've asked, you can ask your estate planning attorney. They probably have some references for professional trustees. And
that's something to consider, especially if you've got a lot of kids and they like to fight. If you have any doubts whatsoever, and I know I'm sounding really harsh again, but if you have any doubts whatsoever that your children are perhaps going to be more interested in how much money is left in that estate than what kind of care you get towards the end, you really need to consider a professional trustee. Maybe a good friend, someone you
mm-hmm.
trust
mm-hmm.
Really closely to put in charge of your wishes, somebody that knows exactly what you want. Because I think we've all worked hard to take, hopefully, to arrange for how we live the rest of our life after we retired and what have you. You've put those things in place. You need to be sure that your wishes are carried forward. So be sure that the person you put in charge is going to follow what you want.
Right. And if it is a close friend, maybe 20 years younger.
Yes.
I did have someone who gave she was 89, her friend was 82.
That's not a good
plan.
And
the friend who was 82 had a husband with dementia. So here she was with her own husband with dementia. And this was years earlier. But, mm-hmm. you know, it needs to be someone who is probably not dealing with their own medical issues at the same time or potentially a spouse's. If they're aging also.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Yeah.
So, like, I would handle yours.
Okay.
I'll be the backup. You can tell your son to give me a call.
Okay.
And if he ever questions anything, I'll be like, oh, no, that's not going to work for her.
that's the plan.
Well, thank you all for joining us today. As always, thank you, Trish,
for
coming in
and
sharing this dialogue because it is so important. And again, it's not talked about around the water cooler. And part of my reason for starting the show and investing my time in it is to educate people before the crisis. So I would much rather help people before they're in my office, before they're coming up to me. I think it's only 7% of us die in our sleep. The other 93, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some type of issue down the road that we need to have our, you know, our armor and our plan and our communication handled. So we are here every Wednesday live right here on KCNR 1460. We thank you for joining us today. Follow us on Facebook to see our upcoming guests. And remember, my favorite quote, do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many. And we look forward to you joining us every Wednesday here on KCNR 1460. Feel free to email me at generationstalkradio@gmail.com. If you have a suggestion for the show or some feedback for me on a show, I welcome that always. Have a great Wednesday.
Of Neurology.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading News from SRN, brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Hardline conservatives say they're not there yet when it comes to voting to avoid a government shutdown.
The chairman of the Hard Right Freedom Caucus, North Carolina's Mark Meadows, says GOP leaders don't yet have the votes for a one-month stopgap plan to keep the government running past midnight on Friday. With Democrats united in their opposition, Republicans need all the votes they can get. So far, conservatives are holding out for a full year of defense spending.